And Nicholas Hayward Jr. was 13 years old when he was killed by NYPD officer Brian George in the Gowanus Houses in Brooklyn on September 27, 1994. Bill Bratton was police commissioner. At the time, the NYPD called the shooting a tragedy, an accidental discharge. But the child's father, Nicholas Hayward Sr., thought otherwise and refused to let the story of his son's killing die. Nicholas Hayward Sr. passed away this week. He was a leading proponent of holding cops accountable for the hundreds of deaths at the hands of police, mostly Black and Latinx people. He pursued the officer who killed his son with complaints, lawsuits, and protests, and confronted police chiefs and district attorneys. He was a convener of the annual October 22nd March Against Police Brutality. Nicholas Hayward was a spokesperson for hundreds of families who have built a network of people looking to end the scourge of violence by the police. He spoke with this reporter on numerous occasions. Here's an interview from December 2014 where he tells the story of his son's death. This occurred after the shooting of 28-year-old Akai Gurley under similar circumstances in Brooklyn's Pink Houses.
It's been very, very, very hard for me these last 20 years. My son, Nicholas Jr., he was a 13-year-old honor student. He was playing with some friends of his. They were playing a game of cops and robbers. They all had plastic toy guns. Mind you, none of them looked at anything close to a real weapon. It was brought to my attention by the district attorney, Charles Hines, at the time, that he put out a statement saying the officer was on a 911 call. The stairwell lighting was dimly lit. Things happened in a split second, and he labeled it a tragic accident. He actually blamed the incident on realistic-looking toy guns. And he had a press conference. He blamed the toy guns, and he cleared the officer. He didn't even present the case to a grand jury. He said that the guns that the toy guns the kids had looked at completely real. You couldn't be mistaken for a fake weapon. This here is the plastic pop gun that my son was holding. I usually would bring this around to a lot of the demonstrations that I have so that people can see that when Charles Hines presented the case and saying that he was closing the case after his investigation, he had a table full of plastic black and silver realistic looking toy guns, opposed to he had in his possession the toy guns that the kids was playing with. Why did he not present those case at the press conference to show the people exactly what these children were playing with?
Why don't you think he did?
Because he wanted to take the blame off of the officer and place it on the toy guns and the children having toy guns that looked it real, which the children didn't. And then he wanted to blame the stairwell lighting being dimly lit. Mind you, the day after the incident of them killing my son, I went up there. The stairwell lighting, it wasn't dimly lit. It was able to see well. So that right there, I mean, as far as I'm concerned with the Akai case, this is another means of they trying to cover the case up. Right. I don't believe actually any of their investigations, none of them. I believe that they are all cover-ups. They don't allow the officer to say anything, and they're trying to do whatever they can to get the officer off, to clear the officer of any wrongdoing, which is what they've been doing in every single case.
Here's a picture of your son, 13 years old, honor student, and Akai Gurley, who was a father, or a hardworking man, and trying to
absolutely
was going entering the stairwell with his girlfriend.
Right.
To go somewhere within his building where he lived.
Right, exactly.
Bill Bratton was the police commissioner at the time your son was killed.
There is so many similarities in the case with Nicholas and Akai. Bill Bratton was the police commissioner when my son was murdered. He's also the police commissioner now when Akai is murdered. And the fact that the stairwell lighting was dimly lit, they said the same thing in both cases. They said it was a tragic accident. They say it was a tragic accident in Nicholas's case. They say it's a tragic accident in the Akai case. These are not tragic accidents. The officers were both rookie cops also. The officer that shot Nicholas was a rookie cop. The officer that shot Akai was a rookie cop. But mind you, they went through their training process. So in order for you to put an officer in the street with an armed weapon, we would assume that you did the proper training. He went through all of the proper trainings, you know, to patrol those communities and see to it that the community is safe, as your claim that they're there for. Especially in a housing complex where you have hundreds of families living there, coming in and out of their apartments I mean, every minute of the hour, people right. coming in and out, up and down the stairwell. How you could open up a stairwell door with your hand? He'd say he used his that hand that he had his right. the gun in to open the stairwell door. And then even if it went off accidentally, guns don't go off by accident. You have to squeeze the trigger. And then after he did this, after he shot Akai, he didn't go to see what was wrong or who he shot or if he shot anyone. Right. He went the other way. He got on the phone and he called his union's representative.
What happened?
What happened after the officer shot Nicholas? He was just standing there walking around in a circle. He didn't know what to do. It was a neighbor that came out of the door, out of her apartment, and seen my son. She knew Nicholas. She said, I know him. She said that he's walking. He said she told him, call an ambulance, call 911. She was yelling at the officer to call 911. So he finally called 911, and she runs down to get my wife. My wife comes running up. She ran up 14 flights of steps. Once she got there, they refused to allow Angela to see her son. They told her, you cannot see him. They didn't allow her to ride in the ambulance with him or anything. Also, there was a young man who came up the steps when he heard the shots also. His name was Cornelius Cook. He was from the community. He knew Nicholas. And he was also there. And this is what Cornelius Cook told me weeks after this happened, that the first officers that arrived on the scene wanted to place a real gun on Nicholas. I brought this to the attention of District Attorney Charles Hines also. I told him that if you remember, my son was murdered in this community here, and you closed the case on him, and you justified it by saying it was a realistic, the gun that played toy guns that they had were realistic. I said, but they weren't. And I said, in the deposition, the officer's contradicting what you're saying. He was getting all red in the face.
Well, speaking of Nicholas Hayward, whose son 20 years ago was playing in the hallway of his own home and was shot by an officer who had his gun drawn with his finger on the trigger when he entered which he said at the time was dimly lit, but was later shown to be fully and well lit.
Exactly.
And he shot the kid dead. And then, you know, 20 years later, we have Akai Gurley, almost the exact same story, from the officers involved. It makes you think. You say here, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention
right.
to this story, because how could the same exact thing happen over and over again?
Exactly. You're saying that you are serving and protecting the residents there.
Yeah.
You have to first have love for the people in the community. That's number one. I'm a human being. I love all human life. And you coming into the community claiming that you're serving and protecting, you first have to have love for the community, for the people,
yeah.
Black, white, Asian. I don't care what nationality, what religion, or what race you are, you have to love the people, whether it's a poor minority community or a rich community.
The implication is they do not come into your community with a feeling of love for the people who
absolutely
live
there. Not. Absolutely not. There is no love for the residents in poor minority communities. And you can basically see it from the time they enter into the community. That there is no love on these officers' faces. And you can also tell by the way they address you, the way they talk to you. No courtesy, no respect.
You have a deposition from the officer in the case of your son.
This officer, Brian George, is saying that he's seen the children playing from an adjoining roof. He first entered into 417 Baltic Street. He went to the rooftop. And he said while he was on the rooftop, he looked across and he seen kids running back. He didn't use the word kids. He said people running back and forth on the roof. So he said he removed his gun and had a flashlight in the other hand. He said he used the hand that he had the gun in to open the door. Same thing as the Akai's, exact same thing. This is the part that very, very troubling, but it's a basic lie. He said that once he opened the door, he said he didn't see anyone there. So my lawyer says, so then what happened? He said, then someone jumped down, Nicholas jumped down from the steps in front of him. Well, what did you do then? He said, I didn't do anything. He said he was watching him. He said, then Nicholas jumped back up the steps. He still didn't do it. He said, then he jumped back down the steps. Then he turned, pointed to a gun, and started clicking it. He said he heard two clicks, and that's when he shot him. Mind you, a year before Nicholas was murdered, he was falsely arrested in the Gowanus community. Officer had came, Nicholas was with me and my wife, and we were standing in front of the front of the building. and excuse me, we were standing in front of the building, and the cops came in and they was chasing some of the kids. And I had a small dog at the time. And the dog started, the officer ran and he tackled one of the youth in front of us. And the little dog started barking. He pulled the gun and said, "Get your dog or I'm gonna shoot him." So I grabbed the dog, I brought him in the house, and I came back outside. When I come back outside, we just standing there, and we just, you know, just watching how these police are, you know, doing this, arresting these kids or whatever. So we standing there, and the officer who tackled the kid and pulled the gun on and told me to get the dogs, he comes walking over to us. His name was Officer Clark. He comes walking over to us, and he grabs Nicholas, point the gun in Nicholas' face. I said, "Whoa." I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Excuse me, but that's my son. He didn't do anything." I said, "What are you doing?" He turned and pointed the gun at me and told me, "No, be quiet, mind your business." I said, "What?" So my wife said, "Nick, be quiet, be quiet." I said, "No, what do you mean be quiet? This guy got a gun in Nicholas' face. What is wrong with you?" So my wife grabbed me. They went and brought Nicholas over to where they had all of the other kids at. And I went over there and I spoke to the sergeant. I said, "Excuse me, sir." I said, "That's my son. My son did not do anything. He's 12 years old. He didn't do anything." I said, "Y'all got the wrong person. That's not the kid y'all looking for." He said, "He don't know what's going on right now." He said, I just got here." He said, "Just give me some time. You know, I'm going to see what's going on here." They just immediately picked Nicholas up, put him in the car, handcuffed him, put him in the car, and took him to the precinct. I gets in my car, me and my wife, we goes to the precinct. We waiting down there for at least an hour and a half. They finally brings Nicholas downstairs. Nicholas, as soon as he sees us, he's ready to just run right past us out. I had to stop him. I had to stop Nicholas. Wait. I said, "Wait a minute, Nicholas. Where you go?" The officer said, "We're sorry, but he's not the one we were looking for."
And this was a year before another officer actually killed him playing in the hallway of the same building.
Absolutely. He said, "I was telling them that I didn't do nothing. It wasn't me. I didn't do anything. I told him. He told him that he was with his mother and his father, and he was staying out. He said, "I kept telling him." He said, and then the officer told him, "If you don't shut up, I'm going to take this gun and stick it up your butt and pull the trigger." And he said, then another cop, he said that another cop told me that I'm not going to live to be 15. I'm like, wow, that right there, you know, it blew my mind.
But can you leave us with some hope? I mean, what is it? I mean, this is wonderful, this outpouring of protests. This is unprecedented. Where do you think this is going? We have 1 minute.
I am so enlightened and energized by the presence of all of the people and the outrage of the people. I mean, I was crying at that protest just because I was so overjoyed to see so many people saying to themselves, I mean, this is enough. You know, you're killing innocent, unarmed people who aren't committing crimes. This has to stop. That means there are many, many officers out there who committed crimes who are still walking the streets.
Thank you very much. Nicholas Hayward.
Thank you. Honor to be on your show.
The friends and family of Nicholas Hayward Sr. have started a GoFundMe page to help pay his funeral costs. As of today, they've raised nearly $6,000 for their goal of $8,000.